message called Rehab. Could you say that little part with me at the bottom? We could all use some fixing. We could all use some fixing. He is holy, holy, holy. I am not. So I need help. Okay. Got it. Say. Amen? So rehab. Let's talk about it. We all need some fixing. From the day we get on this planet to the day we exit this planet, we need help. We have not arrived in our Christian life. It's always a journey. It's always going to be a journey. Our quest is Him. You'll never catch Him. You keep running after Him. Amen? His ways are not our ways, the Bible says. You know, we're created in His image. That's about where it ended. You know what I mean? Because we sinned and we've fallen. What does the Bible say? Short of what? The glory of God. So we need help. Thank God Jesus fixed our soul situation on the cross. He died so you and I won't have to go to hell. What do we simply need to do? Call Him Lord. Your Lord. Your God. You did it. You died for me. Only your payment is worthwhile. What you did was it. That's according to your word. So I call you Lord. I accept your way and no other way. That's Lord. Got it? Yes or no? From that point on, we need help. Thank God He sent us His Spirit. I'll never leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. You're not going to be alone. But we can grieve the Spirit, quench the Spirit, tick the Spirit off. Amen? That's just the way it is. This life's a journey. I still got flesh. And I struggle. Amen? Y'all listening? So the rest of this journey is rehab. I need me some rehab. And God's Word is the best place to go for it. And what we're doing on Sunday morning, this can't fix you just right here on Sunday morning. I tell you what, you can get some marching orders, you can get jazzed up, you can get on fire. This is very, very important. Start your day with me on Sunday morning. Get on up, let's get together, let's start our week off putting it right for Jesus. It's amazing how you can get that start and the rest of your week can be incredible. You ain't going to be perfect, but it can get you on that road fixing every week. Amen? So that's where we're headed in the message. We all could use some fixing. Let's go now to the book of Acts for today's message. And I've titled it today, 180. Can you say it with me? 180. We all need to do a what? A 180. I'm going to just holler that at you the whole morning. You're going to get it. We're going to learn it today. Title of the message is 180. Let's keep moving, Raj. We're flying. Here we go, buddy. Saul called Jesus Lord. This man was a persecutor of Christians. He was actually a killer of Christians. If a killer of Christians can call Jesus Christ Lord and be accepted by Jesus, I think I can. Amen? Yes or no? Absolutely. If he can be accepted and in the Word of God, Saul, who later becomes Paul the Apostle, he says, I am the chief of sinners. Well, if the chief can get saved, I guess one of the Indians can. Amen? Say. Come on. We all have hope. Nobody in this room is without hope. We all have hope. So you got to get that bull out of your head that you don't have hope. You have hope. You're not the worst. Okay? A lot of people. Let's raise some hands. How many people in this room think you might be close to the worst? Let me see hands. See a couple of you. That's what I'm talking about. You think you're the worst? Somebody over here on the right side will fight you for that. Listen, we all have hope. If this murderer, if this killer of Christians could call Jesus Lord, you can call Jesus Lord. And you can be saved. You can put your faith and trust in Him. And that's what he did last week in the message, didn't he? On the road to Damascus, his life was interrupted by Jesus. And he said, Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord. Somebody he had thought was a fraud, and he despised Jesus and his followers. He was stopped in his tracks, and he did a 180. Amen? Let's look at it. Nobody in Scripture, I don't think anybody did more of a 180 than this guy. So let's look at it. He, trembling and astonished, said on this road to Damascus, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city of Damascus. You still going to the same city you were going to? You going to go there and kill them Christians and put them in prison? You go on down out of that city, and it shall be told you what you must do when you get there. Let's move the story. Here we go. Saul did, say it with me, a what? Help me. A 180. He did a 180. Sometimes we think, ooh, we got to get out of Dodge if we're going to do a 180. We got to move. We got to get married to somebody different. We got to do this, switch church, do all these different things if we're going to do a 180. It's interesting. He kept on that same journey he was on. He kept going to Damascus. It wasn't a change of location. It was a change of his heart. He still went to Damascus, but he went a different fella because he did a 180. Keep looking. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a verse everybody should memorize. You should memorize this verse. You should know this verse. You should always remember this verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Can we say that with a little enthusiasm? Come on, let's try it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Isn't that a great verse? That's an incredible verse. It's a verse I memorized years ago when I first became a Christian. You need that verse. Put it on the fridge. Put it in your Bible. Put it in your truck. Put it in your billfold. Put it in your pocket. Put it somewhere. Amen? This is us. That's the 180 verse in the Bible, friend. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. In Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about today in the message. So what is a 180? Me and Raj, we talked about it. And Danny and Alex. What is a 180? Here's what a 180 is. It's turning and going in a completely different direction. Can y'all say that with me? Because we sort of need help. Here we go. What's a 180? Here it is. It's turning and going in a completely different direction. Let's look at some 180s. Here they are. Look at that. Okay, now I'm going this way. See it? Let's look at another one. Here we go. Ooh, skateboarders, they do the 180. They'll be going this way, and they'll be back this way. Amen? How about that? Is that a 180? That's it. 180. Look at that little Porsche. He's going this way. Now he's going to be going back that way. I like that car. That's nice. Amen? Faith. That's it, man. I was going this way, and now I'm going this way. 180. Got it? There it is. I was going this way, and now I'm going this way. Can y'all say that with me? I was going. Now I'm going. How about one more time? I was going, and now I'm going. How about one more time just to get on your nerves? I was going. Now I'm going. Do y'all know what a 180 is now, or do I need to keep this up? One more time. I was going. Now I'm going. That's a 180. I've met a lot of folks that are Christian folk. They didn't do no 180. They did a 360. I mean, they just like this. You see what I'm saying? They're not like this and now like this. No, they like this. Man, crazy. God didn't call us to do a 360. A 360 is the hokey pokey. You put your right foot out, you put your right foot in, you put your right foot out, and you shake it all about, and you do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's not what it's all about. Got it? Say, that's Christianity to a lot of people. Man, I'll go to church, I'll pull myself up, I'll do this, I'll go to this class, I'll do all this stuff, and at the end of the day, you back just where you started, Jack. The Christian life is a 180. It's not the hokey pokey. Got it? Amen. Come on. A 360 is turning all the way around, and when you get done, you're right back where you started. Now, I wish I had $100 for sure if I'm going to be asking for it. Instead of a dime, I'll do $100. I wish I had $100 for everybody who came to Jesus and their life was changed. And yet they did a 360. They come for a while. They make a profession of whatever they do. I don't know what they do. All I know is it didn't stick. Or it's sticking, but their life is always a continual wreck. Because they're always fighting with the 180. They want to do it their way. It's a battle. But rehab, how many people go to rehab? Come on. Family works. They get them talked into it. All right, I'll go, go, go. And they go, and oh, yes. And they come out of rehab. Month or two later, 6 months later, week later, they're right back, and sometimes even worse than before. That is not the Christian life. If that's Christianity, then we failed, and we need to get off this bus, I'm telling you. But the Christian life is a radical change. The most radical change I ever saw in my personal life was my mother. Couldn't believe it. She was a drunk, watching Billy Graham in a chair one night, drunk. She says, "We're going to church in the morning." I cussed her out. She got up and went to church. That's incredible. She hated church. Walked to church. Next week, drunk all week long. Went again. Next week, drunk. Then she went again. And that day, December 18, 1977, she put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. My mother did a 180, came home, took what was gold to her, Pap's blue ribbon, and took it and poured it down the cast iron sink in the kitchen. Wrote on the chalkboard. We had a chalkboard in our kitchen about this big. Put groceries, whatever she's going to do, but she wrote right there, December 18th, 1977. 180. Totally different person. Unbelievable. I could not believe it. Are you kidding? And I'm thinking like everybody else, it ain't going to last. It ain't going to work. And see, I accepted Jesus the same Sunday. It's amazing. Mama did a 180 for about 6 months. I was doing a 360. You know what I'm saying? I was going, but I'm 1 foot out and 1 foot in and 1 foot out and 1 foot in. You know that kind of thing? But thank God my mama did a 180. And that is really what helped me see that I could do a 180. Amen. In my life. 180, what are you doing? Are you doing the hokey pokey? Come on. I turn to Jesus, and then I turn back to myself. Would you scream this with me, this last word right there? No! Don't turn to Jesus and back to yourself. No! That's the hokey pokey. Amen. How many know some people doing the hokey pokey? There we go. There we go. Come on. Saul wasn't back where he started. He was going the same place he was going. He was going a different man, see. But in his life, he was going a different direction. Amen? He was going a completely different direction. His 180 was from his head to his heart. From his head to his heart. What do I mean? It was from his mind to his will. That's what it means, believe in the Lord Jesus with your heart. It means believe with your will. I will to do this. It is my choice to believe in you, Jesus. It is my will. I do this because I want to do it. Amen? It's not the hokey pokey, it's the okie dokie. If your word says it, okie dokie. Amen? That's the 180. It ain't the hokey pokey, it's the okie dokie. Y'all all right? Come on. It's not the hokey pokey. And I turn myself around. That's what it's all about. It's the okie dokie. Okie dokie. I've done turned myself around so many times. I'm sick of turning myself around. Okie dokie. I'm ready to do it your way. Amen? Praise God. So anyway, here we go. Okie dokie. I like it. Can we do that again? One more time. Can we do it once for me? I didn't see it. There we go. Okay. Come on, Raj. Here we go. Let's keep going. I turn to Jesus, the okie dokie. I turn to Jesus. Help me now. Yes. That's what it is. So now let's move our story forward. Calling Jesus Lord was the pivotal point in Saul's life. It must happen for you. If you're going to do the okie dokie, It starts right there, calling Jesus Lord. Well, I went to church. Hush your mouth. Stop saying that. I was christened. So what? I did this. I did that. Shh. Do you believe in Jesus? Did you call him Lord? Is he Lord now? Yeah, okay. That's what it's all about. Amen? Come on. Instead of persecuting people of the way, that's what the Christians were called, now he was a what? I'm a person of the way. Can you believe it? I used to haul these people to prison. And now I'm one of them. I'm a freak. Look at me. That's who he was. Totally changed. Can you imagine what the change must have cost him? You and I can get under the radar. We can hide. He was the leader. The leader. He's a man's man right there, buddy. The leader says, I'm following Jesus. That is gigantic. Huge. And the funny thing is, he didn't go to another city. They're expecting him in Damascus. He has letters to go there to the synagogues to persecute the people of the way. Wouldn't it have been nice of Jesus if he'd have told him to go to Taiwan instead of Damascus? Say, I'm going to let you off the hook because they're waiting down there for you. No, no, you keep going the way you're going, to the town you're going. But now you're going to go instead of as a persecutor of my people, you're going to go as one of my people. See what happens then. Wow. Saul's 180. The first thing, I got five things. It's going to go pretty quick here in just a little bit. He obeyed the command of Jesus. Can you say that? He obeyed the command of Jesus. That's the first step in your 180. Obey the command of Jesus. Okay? Put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's without question. You've got to do that. Jesus, your Lord. And then the first thing you do, instead of arguing with what you read in the Bible, when you see something in the Bible, you might say, well, I don't know the Bible. Well, how about you just turn a New Testament, you just start reading some of it. And when you come across some of it and it says something that you're supposed to do, do it! Amen? Say, obey his command. And we're not that stupid. Thank God this country was founded on Christian values and Christian principles. A lot of who we are and even what we've been taught is godly and right. We've just gotten away from it. You'd be surprised when you put your faith in Christ and you start to want to know what your command is, Jesus, how quickly you can do that and follow him. I've put together a message on the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments don't get you to heaven. Jesus does. His blood on the cross. But the Ten Commandments, you can learn them in 30 minutes. I'll give it to you today free of charge. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know the commands I need to know, I want to know, I'll give them to you today free of charge. What runs on the television, you can have it today. In 30 minutes, you will never forget the Ten Commandments if I get 30 minutes of your time. Amen? How many still know them in this room? You know the Ten Commandments. See there? A lot of you. Praise God. And I got you. When you get that, you give me 30 minutes, I got you. Now you know 10 great commands. Obey those. Start following him. You see how your life will change. Do the 180. Keep looking. Saul arose from the earth. Jesus said, go. And guess what he did? I arose from the earth. When his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand. They brought him to Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight. Neither did he eat nor drink. But I want you to do something with me real quick. I want us to see an interlude. Before we pick up 2, 3, 4, and 5, what he did in his 180, I want you to see what happened. Let's take a little interlude. Man's view of Saul's 180. Can you say that with me? Man's view of Saul's 180. Here's what happened. There was a certain disciple at Damascus. His name was Ananias. And to him the Lord showed up in a vision and said, Ananias. He said, here I am, Lord. The Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight. I like Straight Street. And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias, that's you, coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Man's view of Saul's 180. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here, he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on your name. So what was man's view of Saul's 180? Here it is. He's done much evil to the saints. You kidding me? You want me to have something to do with him? Huh! It's how man views. And then he says this, he has authority to do a whole lot more evil. And isn't that how we are sometimes, folks say? I got a letter last week, and I don't know if the gentleman's here today. I don't see him. He wrote me a letter, 3-page letter, small print, watches us on TV. He said, I got a bunch of your videos. We give them to him. He says, I'm a Christian. I have a terrible past. Don't judge me by the way I look. Tattoos, the sin in his life, struggle. If you look at him, it's rough. But he wrote me that letter. He said, I'm a follower of Jesus. I love Jesus. I want to tell people about Jesus. That's my passion in my life. I have a past, but my past is my past. But aren't we like that, church? Listen to me. Aren't we like that? Man's view of somebody's 180. Because they look a certain way, dress a certain way. That's the way they've been. The scars are on their life, and you can see it. But you know what? That's not going to cut it. A child of God's a child of God. Amen? Somebody does a 180 needs our support and our encouragement and our applause. Amen? You know what I'm saying? So man's view. Ananias says, I ain't going to do that. Are you crazy? You know, God talking to him. He says, this man's a killer. He's going to kill more people. That's his view. But now let's look at Jesus' view. After these few statements, Saul is on the same road going to Damascus, but he's different now. He's a totally different man, and Ananias doesn't know that. He's done a 180, and Ananias can't see it yet. His position on Jesus has changed, and Ananias doesn't really know it yet. To Saul, Jesus is no longer a fraud. He's his Lord. And so, he's done a 180, and Ananias, he can't see it. His view is of the killer. And so Jesus talks to him. Look at Jesus' view of Saul's 180. We saw man's view. Let's look at Jesus. Look at verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel. Can you say that with me? He is a chosen vessel. If a murderer can be a chosen vessel, you think you just might can, yes or no? Sure you can. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Jesus' view of Saul was different than man's. He's a chosen vessel. He's going to bear my name. Keep going. He will suffer great things for my name. So that's his view. Now look at the difference. Look at this. This is where we got to get, church, right here. Man's view when looking through Jesus' view. Do you look at people different when you look through Jesus' view? Look at that. Look at you got your magnifying glass. You got the big, you see what I'm saying? You can't just have yours. We need to look at people as Jesus sees people. So we see he didn't want to do it, Ananias. And now Jesus talks to him and says, look, here's who he is now. And so now all of a sudden Ananias is able to look through the way Jesus sees people and sees Saul. And look at the difference. And Ananias went his way. He entered into the house. He put his hands on him. You ever put your hands on a murderer? He said unto him, say that with me, one of my favorite lines in the whole Bible, right there. Brother, can you imagine calling somebody your brother who just killed the greatest preacher probably that was alive at the time, Stephen, just murdered him just a little while back. Can you imagine putting your hands on him and going, Brother Saul? That's what you can do when you look through Jesus' eyes. You can do crazy things. The Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as you came, he sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So now let's look at his view. What was his view now looking through Jesus' view? He reached with his hand out and touched him. He called him Brother Saul, and he prayed for his healing. I'll be honest with you. Somebody killed my preacher friend and he was blind. I'd want to go over to the right side and hit him in the head. Yeah, kick him. Who kicked you now? How'd that feel? I mean, that's about how we'd be, isn't it? Yes or no? Not put our arms on him. Not hug him and call him brother, and certainly not then put our hands on his face or his eyes so that he could receive his sight. I don't know about you. That'd be pretty tough for me. But thank God we can look through Jesus' view. Amen? Come on. So now back to our story. That was just a little interlude. So how did Saul do his 180? Don't go to sleep on me. Hang in here. Number one, help me. What's it with me? He obeyed the command of Jesus. Jesus told him to go to the city. He went to the city. He obeyed his command. He found this man. That's what he did. Number two, how do you do the 180? How'd he do it? Number two, he identified himself publicly with Jesus Christ through baptism. He identified himself publicly. Look at the scripture. And immediately they fell from his eyes as it had been scales. He received his sight. And he arose, say it with me, and was what? Baptized. You should be baptized if you want to do the 180 instead of always being the hokey-pokey Christian. As far as I'm concerned, that's what you are. I know that's ugly, but why don't you get baptized? Why do I have to stand up here and beg you to get baptized? Say, get baptized, please. He died for you on the cross. Why would I even do that? Have you called him Lord or not? If you're Lord, then you're Lord. If you tell me to get baptized, and you did, then I will. Is that pretty simple, yes or no? That's why we baptize at Fellowship Church. It's not the easiest thing for us to do. I get in my short t-shirt, go to the beach, put a hat on, got to dip you in the water. It'd be a whole lot easier if I just sprinkle you with something, or better yet, not do anything. But that's not the command of God. The command of God is for me to baptize you, right? So if we're going to baptize you, let's have some fun and go to the beach. Amen? And let's make it as good as we can. Why don't we have a cookout? Amen? And better than that, after all of that, we'll do a video. We'll send you your own video on DVD so you can show everyone. That's how we do it at Fellowship. It's a command of God. Publicly identify with Jesus. You want to do the 180? Or to check yourself out, have you done the 180? Have you publicly identified with Jesus? Amen? Ooh, y'all quiet. Here we go. Number three, what else did he do? He committed himself to learning about Jesus. Say that last part with me. From the... And when he received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Saul was trained at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He was the smartest one in the bunch. Anywhere he showed up, he was the brightest. He was the smartest, most educated. Nowhere he went. Can you imagine the 180 in this man's life? He actually used to persecute these people and kill these people, and now he's sitting at their feet, fishermen's feet, and learning about Jesus. Is that a 180 or a what? Say, somebody tell me about it. Amen? That's a 180 right there. How about you? Are you committed to learning about Jesus? If you're going to have that 180, you need to be committed to studying and to learning about Jesus in His Word. Why do we have home fellowships? Why do we have Bible studies? Why has my wife, myself, her dad for years, we've been in Christian radio for 20-something years now. Why do we do that? So that people can learn about Jesus. Amen? And I'm real proud of our station. WSMR, great station in Sarasota, 89.1, just had to close its doors. It's no longer a station in Sarasota, just bought out. And I went there when they had to rent studios and they rented tower space. It just made me so thankful that God has blessed WSB Radio, 91.3 FM in Inglewood, on the land, on the tower, on our studios downtown. God has blessed us with not having any debt now. Things are paid off. It's a huge thing. So that we can keep proclaiming the gospel. Amen? Even in tough times. Can y'all praise the Lord with me over that? That's good stuff. Come on. Yeah. So, committed to learning. Number four, he proclaimed Jesus to be the Son of God in the synagogues. Look at it. And straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogues. Say that with me. That he is the Son of God. How many of us in this room, we're cowards? I'm sorry, this is rehab. When you go through rehab, they don't go, I'm sorry, you can do it your way. When it's rehab, it's in your face. And I'm going to be a little in your face right now. How many of us are just cowards somebody will talk about their religious way or their religious path they're on. And it's not even biblical. It's heresy, and it's going to send them to hell. But we just won't even bother with it. We'll just go, okay, well, that's nice. Well, they're good people. Well, you know, all roads, I guess, lead to heaven. Who is that that would do such a thing? Say. Amen? Saul got saved. He went right into the synagogues where they were the people that were just like him that hated the Christians. He went, they were waiting for him to come there for him to say this. Do y'all know any Christians? Have you heard of any people who are following the way? Oh, yeah, I know three. Why, yeah, I got two down the corner. Yeah, there's eight over here in the house down this way. Can you imagine when they had their little list of people that were going to be hunted down like dogs? They were going to give him the letter and the list. Can you imagine when he went in and he told them, I now am a believer in Jesus Christ. You talk about fire hitting the fan. Say, can you imagine such a thing? Say, you talk about going into enemy territory. Whoa! Is that incredible or what? That's a 180. Yet we won't stand up for our faith. We won't tell our friend about Christ. If someone says, hey, I'm a good person, I live a good life, that's good enough, that's all I've got to do, you won't open your mouth and say, no, sir, I'm sorry, that's not all you need to do. It's already been done what you need to do. Jesus died for you on the cross. But you must be born again. You must put your faith in Christ. I love you, man. I don't want you to be like, I want you to come to Christ, man. Do we not have the guts and courage to do that? Say. I mean, I know that's a tough message on you. But I want you to do a 180, baby. Amen? Say. Don't you want to stop doing the hokey pokey? Say. Okie dokie. Did Jesus say this? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Did he say it? Yes or no? Amen? That's what he told us. He's not willing that any should perish. So you can always go in confidence. God loves every single person you ever meet. You can share with them Jesus. Why? Because you have papers from him, the authority that he loves them, they can be saved. Amen? Come on. But all that heard him were amazed. They said, is not this him that destroyed, which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength. And he said with me, he confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus. He didn't just confound them. Look at that last part. Proving that this is the very what? Messiah. Wow. He was smart. I mean, he had an education. He used his education, now that he was a Christian, to prove and to argue. And he argued with the best of them when you read your Bible. It's incredible. This man became a powerhouse for Jesus. His 180. The last thing, number five, he suffered for Jesus. He became the hunted instead of the hunter. Look at it. See, that's old Saul. That's best we could do. That's old Saul right there, the old hyena. He's used to going after hunting down Christians and killing them. But I tell you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords got him, didn't he? Amen? And then he became the hunted. They started hunting him down, wanting to kill him. The Jews. How do you know that, Clark? Look at the scripture. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to what? Kill him. But their lying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples, the one before who had been his enemies, then the disciples took him by night. Would you say this with me? And let him down by a wall in a basket. I love that. Saul's 180. We're done with the message. How'd y'all do this morning? All right? Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's look real quick and just see. What is it? What is it? Is it the 360 or the 180? Come on. One more time. Is it the 360 or the 180? Come on. I love that. Is it the hokey pokey or the okie dokie? Praise God. I love you guys. Here we go. Come on. Have you called Jesus Lord? That's my question for you today. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ. You died for me. You rose for me. I believe that. You are Lord. That's who you are. Now, if you're going to do the 180, here they are. Are you obeying Jesus' command to follow Him? Have you identified publicly with Jesus in baptism? Are you committed to learning more about Jesus and what He desires for your life? Are you proclaiming to others Jesus to be the only begotten Son of God? There is no other way. And are you willing, if necessary, to suffer for Jesus? My mother did the 180. My stepdad never liked her 180. He never liked it. She was gentle. She was kind. She would cook. She would do his clothes. She was the best, just perfect as far as I'm concerned as a wife and as a just to try to reach him for Jesus. But he'd have nothing to do with it. 17 years she was on that 180, baby. Come home from church on a Wednesday night right before Thanksgiving. Getting ready in the back bathroom. House I grew up in my whole life. He walks in with a 357 Magnum and unloads it on her. 6 times, shot my mother. Dead in the bathroom. He goes into the next room where we used to eat all our dinners and meals. Sets on a little red stool. Blows his brains out. My mother did the 180. It cost her. It really did. I believe if she would have went back to the old way, she'd live maybe a lot longer. Who knows? But that won't Mama's life no more. Mama done got off that other road, the Hokey Pokey Road. She had done that a long time. And now she's on road 180, baby. And she walked right into heaven that night. It's sad. It was hard on me. It's still hard on me. But the bottom line is, that's my heritage now. That's my legacy. Fellowship Church, that's the road we're on. If you're a Hokey Pokey Christian, I love you. I want you to get on the 180 road. Live for Jesus. Amen? Come on. Let's be strong for the Lord. This is a mess. I really want you to do it, man. 360 Hokey Pokey. I turn to Jesus, then back to myself. No! Listen. 180. Pop it up. There it is, baby. Y'all going to see U-turn signs different now when you look at them, aren't you? Thank you, Jesus. That's me. Okie dokie, I turn to Jesus. Yes! And I'm going to walk that way. God help me walk that way till I get home. Amen? Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. I am what? That's the difference now. I'm His servant. Amen?